fallen friend, for your life is in the hands of Ace Ventura.
Pet detective.
Whatever you do!
Don't look down.
I fucking drink Anthony your Kiedis. Blood.
That's a guy we'll probably be talking about. He's in Point Break. He's in The Chase.
Yeah.
Two movies that we just really enjoy and I'm sure are going to get coverage here at some point.
Ooh, you know.
On this action movie podcast.
Chase is one of my all-time favorites.
Up there at the very, very top. Man, you've got that Charlie Sheen hard on that few men can go up against.
I like it for a lot of other reasons.
Charlie Sheen.
But Charlie Sheen is great in that. He's coming right off the heels of being hot from Major League 2 in that one.
Was Major League 2 hot?
Oh, you kidding me?
I don't remember anybody seeing that second one. Isn't that the one that Wesley Snipes didn't show up
that's
for?
That's correct. They got Omar Epps.
And it wasn't just because he was like in jail already. Like he just legitimately was like, nah, I'm Snipes now. I don't need to be in this
fucking
sequel.
Sure he wasn't paying taxes, though.
Showing up in this fucking sequel. It's probably all the money he made from the first Major League and didn't pay taxes on that eventually got him thrown in the who's gal.
And all the money that he got off of the money train that he didn't claim on his taxes.
You gotta pay your taxes, kids. The government, it doesn't run well in most ways, but collecting taxes isn't one of them. That's something they got down.
Tax man cometh.
Get down to a science.
All the Davy R. Shysters in the world.
Girl I'm living with is paying her taxes this year.
Yeah?
For the first time in like 6 years.
Oh.
So the IRS isn't going to be showing up here, fingers crossed.
Huh. Unless, you know, that audit happens.
Yeah, I was really expecting her to go down like Snipes sometime soon, but I guess she's getting it taken care of.
This is all good news.
She really got her head in a better place recently.
That's good.
She's
good
gardening,
for her.
Paying her taxes.
That's really cutting into my internet content that I'm using those drones for.
I had no idea that I was in some sort of dare dorm in this house, but I did hear a lot of buzzing outside the windows. I didn't know those were drones.
It's nothing that exciting. It's more like those Asian pee cams, those toilet cams.
They got drones small enough to get in the toilets now?
Buddy, I got drones you ain't never seen. Man,
that pee cam technology is fucking crazy these days. It's crazy what they got out
I got
there.
A drone so small you can't even see it.
I think we're looking at half a millimeter.
Can it cut that thin?
Oh, I've cut slices so thin, I couldn't even see them.
How'd you know you cut it?
Well, I guess I just assumed.
Don't worry, kitty. Dinner's coming.
Look at that. That's a Hall of Famer.
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Yeah, watch this baby slide.
Okay. Come on, you want it? Go ahead. Go, kitty. Go, go. Can I borrow that thing for a while?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Well, you're not checked out on it.
What do I have to know?
Well, where the meat goes.
Right there.
Where do you turn it on?
Right there.
But where does the meat go?
That's just kind of going off the Kramer cutting slices so thin you can't even see them.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there's more. But we're not here to talk.
Always an excuse to drop in some Kramer.
We're not here to talk the 30th anniversary of Seinfeld or online drone pornography or Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That was the debut of Seinfeld? That was 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. 89.
That's
a long time ago.
Yeah. We're here.
I was 8 years old.
To talk action movies because it's Baby Oil and Blow, an action extravaganza. Action Palooza.
That's right.
Two hosts.
One of these days I'm going to start getting explosion noises to like put in the background as you do that. I don't know. That day's not today though.
This one's for you, Morph. Will you throw that in there for me?
That's going to be the end of it for sure.
Two hosts as always. A really good looking young man by the name of Matto.
Mm-hmm.
And moderately attractive individual by the name of Nathan Adams.
Ahoy, everybody.
He is the Styles to my Teen Wolf.
Wolverine, pull back.
Fall back. Either way, he's the morph to my Wolverine.
I love to snuff on my 90s X-Men cartoon.
Nate Adams. It always bothered me because the theme song of that sounded a little bit like Whitney Houston's My Everything.
Oh, yeah, they did rip off that song.
I'm your baby tonight.
I heard that that's originally what got Whitney Houston hooked on drugs, is that she was so torn up by the fact that that X-Men cartoon stole her song and then didn't give her credit and then went on to great success.
Yeah, that and
her up inside.
And that and Ricky Schroeder.
Oh, Ricky Schroeder was involved somehow?
Yeah. She showed up on that episode of Silver Spoons. He took her through that train.
That was far before the drug habit, I hope.
They'd show you the train would come through the living room, but they never showed you where the train came from.
Through that, the whole run of that show, you never saw where that train
came from? No, he and his old man had a sex dungeon. And, well, that's when he turned Whitney onto drugs. I'm just kidding. Fat white men already had her on drugs by then. She was 15 and beautiful.
Bobby
and a singing
Brown
star.
Got all the credit for ruining her. Is that not the case? She ruined herself years before.
Bobby.
Women always snake through these things without getting any blame. It's always some man that ruins a woman's life.
Bobby Brown might have been the first to give her the drugs.
I've seen plenty of life ruiners that were female, Matt. That's what I'm saying right now.
Yeah.
It's a 50-50 thing out there.
Yeah, you've met a few succubuses in your day.
Oh, they're everywhere, surrounded by them.
Oh, buddy.
They're always trying to give you drugs, just like my DARE officer taught me as a kid.
Everywhere I go,
here, take these drugs. It's crazy out there. People just shoving drugs into your hand everywhere you go.
Drugs.
You guys had that same DARE song?
Yeah.
Yeah, we sang that song.
I almost joined the police just so I could be a part of the DARE band.
Uh-huh.
And then I joined a police cover band instead.
Okay, that's a lot smarter because you could hit those high notes.
Yeah.
We need your talents to be used, you know.
Roxanne!
Yeah, there we go.
You know?
You got to go out there. With great power comes great responsibility. You can hit those high notes. You got to get in a police cover band.
Plus, it's great.
Every town's got to have their own.
It's great because every time that I play with that Dire Straits cover band, I get to pull a little double duty and I get to go up there for I Want My MTV.
That's always a great thing for town festivals. Chicks for Free, that Dire Straits cover band plays with your police cover band.
But we edit it. We say that little sucker's got his own jet airplane.
Well, you got to keep the shit family friendly.
Yeah.
Most of this stuff's carnivals in the town festivals.
Carnivals.
There's always elephant ears nearby whenever you play, which I appreciate.
I know how to keep you coming, pal. Fried dough with sugar on it.
That's one of the ways.
Speaking of fried dough with sugar on it.
Okay, where's this transition going?
We're talking Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, that's right. He's Italian. They're always making up a dough.
Yep.
Perfect transition there into our rundown this week of Cliffhanger from 1993. This is the first movie in our month-long series, 90s Kid Action Mount Rushmore. We're picking the big top four 90s action stars.
Blown Away technically didn't count,
Schwarzenegger.
Folks. That was a Independence Day special.
JCVD.
Listen to those names again.
The big
again.
Four.
Stallone.
Uh-huh.
Schwartz and Weiger.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Browns and Schweiger.
Hello, son. I'm looking for Henry Ruhlenfurter. Raffenbuser.
Rosenbagger. Gartenhoser. Ruhlengruder. I never doubted him for a minute. Hey, way to go, Runamucker.
JCVD.
Mm-hmm.
And a gentleman is just a cook.
Steven.
Just a cook.
Steven.
Is he a big fat white guy? Is he some kind of Native American?
Well, these days, yeah.
Is he Filipino because of those barongs
back
he wears?
In the 90s, though, he was light.
I'm not sure what he is.
Pulling arms out of sockets.
Yeah, but my point is, I'm not sure what he is.
Cliffhanger, 1993. This rundown is brought to us by Don the Beachcomber and his chain of tiki restaurants, Don the Beachcombers, because we're drinking some of his original recipe zombies right now. It's the fuel.
They're delicious.
For the fire that is this podcast.
Jack, you're one.
I think there's a couple of those Don the Beachcombers that still exist. So if you live near one, go out there and support his wife who, you know, divorced him and took the entire chain from him. The budget of this cliffhanger movie was $70 million.
Pretty That's
penny.
A lot of cheddar.
Penny night, back in 1993, but, you know, money well spent because the gross here, $84 million domestic, $170 million foreign. This thing pulled in $255 million, Matt. This is a big success.
I call that a hit, my friend.
Cliffhanger's a big hit, 1993.
Yeah.
The director of Cliffhanger is a legend in the genre of action. Rennie Harlan, weird foreign man Rennie Harlan. You know him from such films as Die Hard 2, The Long Kiss Goodnight, Deep Blue Sea, the time he put Carol Co. completely out of business with one of the biggest bombs in Hollywood history, Cutthroat Island.
Oh, yeah.
You know, shit
Cutthroat
like that.
Cutthroat Island.
Our stars of not Cutthroat Island, but of Cliffhanger, back on track here. Number one, Sylvester Stallone, one of our big heads on our Mount Rushmore. He's playing Gabe Walker, a former quote-unquote rock jock.
He's a real rock jock.
He's a mountain climbing rescue expert. He's out there in the Rockies saving people who don't know how to climb good. The former fucking rock jock. Currently, he's haunted by his past, and he's PTSD'd out, has been.
Hey, I still climb a mountain if I want.
His partner, Hal Tucker, is being played by Michael Rooker.
Hal.
He's this rock-headed playboy who gets his girlfriend killed in the first scene, and then he blames Stallone for the rest of the movie.
You're talking about good-looking Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker, you know him from every goddamn James Gunn movie that ever happened. You know him as Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. A lot of people have seen him on Walking Dead. Even
he's Mr. Svenning in Mallrats.
And y'all need to stop watching
Let's
The Walking
tell
Dead.
People... Oh, my God. People are still watching that?
People still talk about it out in public.
Really?
I hear them, and I'm just like, how could you possibly be still talking?
Shame
I didn't make
on
it
you.
A full season into
you
that
You are the
awful
Walking
show.
Dead, you people.
How many times are you going to recommend it to me before I finally convince you that it's a terrible show?
Our generation knows Michael Rooker as Mr. Svenning from Mallrats. Be
that's
honest.
That's depressing if that's true.
He got the stink palm.
Janine Turner is playing Jessie, the token woman of the mountain rescue team.
Pretty sure Janine Turner is the secretary from fucking Ghostbusters, so guess again.
Jessie, this character, has a vague romance going on with Stallone's character, Gabe. They're sort
Vague's
of linked,
a good word for it.
We never see them really touch or show each other affection throughout the entire movie. We're just kind of told that they're an item.
Much like my fiance, she was probably repulsed by Stallone.
You know Janine Turner, obviously, as the the all business pilot from quirky 90s TV show Northern Exposure.
I thought you were going to say Wings. I was like, I love Wings. I don't remember her being on it.
I remember if she was on Wings, because this is a powerhouse actress right here. Northern Exposure.
I feel like there's going to come a time when you and I just really get into Northern Exposure.
Sit down and rip through all the episodes.
If there's ever a time
that ever gets thrown up on Hulu or something, hell yeah. That's something I'm going to be into.
if that happens in like a winter time, man, I'm gonna be over here doing welfare checks on you every day.
That might be one of those TV shows that used a lot of popular music back before people thought about things like distribution longevity. Rights to popular music. So I don't think it's longevity. Ever really been put out in any affordable way. John Lithgow is playing Quaylen, our main bad guy. He's trying to get his stolen money back that's been lost in the mountains. You know John Lithgow from being an alien in Third Rock from the Sun and Outlaw and Dancing and Footloose.
He was also an alien in Buckaroo Banzai in the Fifth Dimension.
We Come From France. Is that the one?
No, Buckaroo Banzai. He plays
Consume Mass Quantities.
Professor Big Boutet.
That's not a funny joke.
You never saw that? Come on, man.
I saw it when I was a kid.
Still holds up.
One more I'm going to throw out here just because he's such a big part of the movie. Rex Lynn is playing Travers. He's the federal agent that turns his back on his position to steal money from the treasury alongside John Lithgow's criminal genius.
Cool.
Rex Lynn, you've seen him in literally like 100 small roles on TV shows and action films, but never like any sort of main thing. He's always just one of the side guys. Yeah. This is probably one of his biggest roles,
One of his largest.
Last time I saw him, he was playing Riggs' scumbag criminal father on the Lethal Weapon TV show. So this guy's still getting work out there.
Before that guy killed a man and got kicked off of the show.
Yeah, then they brought in Stifler. And somehow it was all downhill after bringing in Stifler. How does that happen? Sense.
You forgot to mention Ralph Waite as Frank.
He was the guy from the Waltons. Is that what we're talking about?
Okay. I don't know. He's the old man.
The helicopter pilot?
Sure.
I believe he was the guy from the Waltons.
Okay. And then you also forgot to mention Leon.
A.K.A. Darius from Cool Runnings.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like that he just billing himself as Leon. Yeah.
It's a good way to go. He hit the heights of the industry.
He's really pretty badass in this and does a complete like
fucking
180
awesome.
From like Cool Runnings.
I buy him as a Leon.
I don't know why he didn't get more roles.
Tagline of Cliffhanger.
Hey, watch this big man. You don't fall. He's going to damage. Get a couple tears. So we got to take control.
No, it's a little, there's a little more brevity than that.
Oh.
Tagline. The height of adventure. That's fucking.
It's not a bad tagline. It's not a very good tagline.
I don't know, Sly. I've heard better taglines. That's all I'm saying. It's not striking.
You know, people
can do better.
People can buy it.
Maybe go back to the drawing board with it.
People
can
see a movie and I can see a movie.
The plot of Cliffhanger. A year after losing his friend in a tragic 4,000-foot fall,
oh no!
Former Ranger Gabe Walker and his partner Hal are called to return to the same peak to rescue a group of stranded climbers, only to learn the climbers are actually thieving hijackers who are looking for boxes full of money. $100 million worth of money, to be exact. It's a lot of fucking money.
It's a lot of booty.
Let's get into the bullet points here.
Okay.
And tear into our discussion of 1993's fucking Cliffhanger.
First thing I want to point out
was
based on a premise.
Aren't all films based on a premise?
But rarely do you get to see that titled at the beginning of the movie. This movie was supposed to be a lot of different things.
And
just changed a lot of times.
Yeah, I've heard they had to pay off like a bunch of different writers who didn't get credit.
That's how they got
like,
the based on the premise
had a,
credit.
Like a legal case being like, hey, I should have got some money for this.
So like two other guys got paid like $400,000 because they had enough evidence to be like, yeah, I fucking wrote that, bro. Mm-hmm.
It's always amazing. The more people you get who are professional writers writing a thing, the poorly written it always ends up being.
Rennie Harlan never wanted to make this movie. They were supposed to make a different movie.
Aw, Rennie Harlan. His heart wasn't
like,
in this one?
He was like, bro, I don't want to make another Die Hard 2. And then he's like, all right, fuck it, I'll make another Die
Hard
2.
Die Hard
2
was at an airport. What does this have to do with Die Hard 2?
They were supposed to... Stallone was supposed to make a different movie with Roland Emmerich. That was a sci-fi space thriller.
I could get down on that. I'm a Roland
horror.
Fan.
And, they're like, budget's going to be like $40 million for that. That's too expensive. Mm-hmm. We don't want to pay that much for a movie.
Instead, let's pay $70 million
Correct.
For a mountain
So
movie.
That's funny. And bam, right away we find out why this movie costs so much. And that's because everything in this movie is insane. And our opening scene is no exception to that rule.
First impressions is my first bullet point. The first thing you see when you're watching this movie is that Carol Co. logo coming up right before the titles. And that just brings back the warm fuzzies. Back in the 80s, early 90s, anytime that Carol Co. logo came up, you're just like, oh, fuck, I'm about to watch an action movie for fucking sure. That's how these guys made their bones. Stallone movies, Schwarzenegger movies, fucking, they had their fingers in all the pies.
Yep.
Second off, we get a bunch of helicopter shots of gigantic fucking mountains. And you're just like, they got helicopters everywhere. They spent a bunch of money on this. This is a big budget summer blockbuster thing. I'm in for a real treat.
Yeah.
Third thing you see, or sense, is that score. That sweeping, epic score. That's super weird because it sounds like it's from some sort of like lame 80s fantasy film or something. It's like way more just like heroic and like... you know, like magical sounding than
something important's
than
gonna
just
happen.
A dirty R-rated action movie about like hijacking terrorists, scumbag thieves should be. And then it doesn't go away like throughout the whole movie. You just keep going back to that, just that sweeping score. It's totally out of tone with the rest of the shit going on in the movie, and I really disliked it.
I thought it
and
sat
it's one of
perfectly.
The things. It's one of the things that was really annoying me throughout watching a cliffhanger this time. So at first I was like, ooh, great. But then I was like, ooh, maybe there's some stuff going on here. I'm torn. First off, first impressions. I'm not sure what to think.
This movie, I saw it when it came out as a young child.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I would have been 10 at the time. And then the only other time I saw it...
A lady never tells her age, so I'm going to keep that in reps.
I was raised a lady, and I would like to remain one, thank you. The only other time I saw this movie was when I was at your house in Bloomington.
Oh, wow. That was a long time ago.
I think you were...
to show my age.
You were asleep.
Smart. Sounds like I was a smart one.
Sleeping one off, and I was hanging out...
My half-tarred roommate?
Yeah,
Making everybody stay up watching terrible action movies with Potter
and Steiger. I had to take a shit, so I did that and read a little Blacktail.
Mm-hmm.
Blacktail magazine.
Oh, yeah, the big bootied porno mag that we kept on the back of our toilet.
Yep.
So many memories flooding back right now.
And I just kept knocking on your door, trying to wake you up, and sliding you notes under the door that said, Steiger's making me watch Rennie Harlan movies.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That was back in the day when my internet handle on everything, my username, before you had to have like real usernames, it was your real name and shit in order to get around the internet. Was always Rennie Harlan fan is what I was using.
Sweet and to the point.
My logic was, well, that one's not going to be taken. And it never was.
No.
It never was.
But yeah, first impression, actually watching this as an adult, not having to take a shit, not being stuck with a
mutant. Nothing worse than having to take a shit during a movie.
Was, man, there's a lot going on here.
That's true.
This guy's just clearly climbing a...
It's like just
a mountain
two
with no
completely
ropes.
Different movies just crash into each other, and you're just left there in the middle of the wreckage.
Crash into me.
The first movie,
little baby,
starts with our first opening scene, which is one of the most iconic opening scenes in action film
that's
history.
Fair.
I'm gonna say
it's so iconic that Ace Ventura 2 spoofed it. That's right. The Ace Ventura 2.
Ace Ventura 2 spooked it hilariously, is what it did. Duh. So we got Michael Rooker's characters taking a chick out on the mountain to try to impress her. Something goes wrong with their climb. They're stranded.
Hey, you don't climb mountains at all? I'm going to make you climb like 50,000 feet straight into the air. Yeah. That's cool, huh?
So Stallone...
Chicks love that shit.
And Maggie from Northern Exposure and the old guy from the Waltons got to take a chopper up there to rescue her. They can't just land the chopper or they'll fucking blow their ass off the mountain or whatever. I don't know. I don't know the
logistics. I thought they had to rescue him because his knee...
Is that what was going
was
on?
Acting up, yeah.
Either way, something's wrong with
her.
They
got to
get these people off the mountain. So they attach a cable.
Hey, your knee hurts because you fell out of a hot tub. And he's like, damn it, Rocky. I told you. I lied to this bitch and I told her it was a Vietnam injury.
Okay, this is another one of my bullet points. That actually goes in before we get this epic opening. Is just before the actual like drama kicks in, we just get a lot of bantering back and forth
it's
between
pretty good.
These people.
It's pretty good, you're
and this
right.
is when you first realize, oh god, the dialogue in this movie is fucking terrible.
I thought it was pretty solidly
like,
written.
This is the whole, like, hanging out with these protagonists and listen to them, like, throw insults back at each other and, like, rib each other a little bit, needle each other. It's it just feels like when you gotta, like, hang out with your coworkers outside of work, like, at a bar or something, some sort of outside of work event, and they're not cool at all, they're not funny at all, so you
this
just
really
sit there
backfired on
going
me.
Like, yeah. Don't believe anything this guy says about me. Stuff like that said, and like, then everybody fake laughs. And this is just establishing these as like good-natured people who we're gonna like throughout the movie. But
it always gives me a reason to do my Amadeus
it didn't,
laugh.
It didn't work. It didn't work on me. It just made me think these people are dorks. I want to see them get blown off this fucking mountain.
What do they look like to you, Nathan?
Dorks. They look like a couple of dorks.
So, right away, I don't want to hang out with these people or spend any time with them. I just want to see them die, which isn't a good way to establish your shit. But then we do get into a glorious death, because this rescue gets botched. Rooker gets across the cable from the mountain into the helicopter. Then his girlfriend tries to go, and she's like, oh, I'm a weak woman. I can't really slide across this cable too well. I'm scared.
I'm just a dumb woman.
And then the harness she's on starts
I'll never be real people.
Breaking and breaking and breaking until it's broken, and she falls, and she's hanging by a thread in the middle of this cable that's stretched between a mountainside and a helicopter.
Oh, God.
Everybody's panicking, and Stallone's like, I gotta climb out there and get her. And Rooker's like, no, it's not rigged up for two people. It'll be too heavy.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's too late. She's slipping. Somebody's gotta do something. So Stallone, he fucking jimmies his ass out there real quick.
I never slip, because if I slip, well, then I'm slipping.
And we've already established with our first opening helicopter shot that eventually reaches him just hanging off the side of this fucking cliff just with his bare hands. That
he's really strong.
He's ripped to shit.
Yeah.
He's fucking, he's leaned out in this one, just like looking real shredded up, but yeah, like still strong as fuck. So like,
yeah,
if anybody's going to be able to get that out there on this cable and stick his hand out and pull this chick up and save her, even though she's no longer harnessed into anything, it's going to be Stallone, man. He's got what it takes. He's just got the raw masculine energy to do it.
He's got the stuff.
But nay, it doesn't work that way.
What happens?
She
to
falls.
Her?
He dramatically grabs her hand right
oh,
before
God.
She completely eats shit. So now they're just holding hands, and that's the only thing she's attached to. And then she's got this stuffed animal on her, and that Ooh. Thing falls off of her pack or whatever. And then we see the stuffed animal fall, and it's a long fall down there, man.
Really
and
stuck with you, didn't it?
She's screaming.
Did the teddy bear stick with you?
It did. It stuck with me.
That's a Rennie Harlan touch right there.
Of course it is.
That wasn't supposed to be in the movie originally, and mm-hmm. then he was like, you know what?
I want to prove in this first sequence to the audience that it's all for real. This is not games we are playing here. We are really going to take you on a ride. And it wasn't easy for the filmmakers. It wasn't easy for the actors. And it's not going to be easy for you to watch this, because it's quite scary. There you see a rack focus from the buckle to Sly's face. And this is an addition that we came up with as we were getting ready to shoot this little dog falling. I saw it in a souvenir store and I said, we gotta have that, because that's a real good way to show the audience what falling down means, how you, when you fall down, you just kind of fly past the rock face, and it's sort of a prelude to this disaster.
I'm going to make sure
I'm
she has this.
The teddy bear.
I'm making sure she has this teddy bear, and the teddy bear falls.
I have no idea where Rennie Harlan's from or what accent to try to do.
Finland. He's from Finland.
Yeah, still no idea what that
accent
sounds like.
Because he works the Finland flag into every movie he has.
And then Michelle Find Joyner's the girl. The girl I got to give mad props to her, because she's just screaming and begging and saying yeah. stuff like, please, I don't want to die.
She's
pretty traumatic.
She's Ric Flair begging off
oh,
here.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. She's coming to terms with her maker. But old Stallone, he's holding on to her, but that glove.
She's wearing a loose glove, not fit for mountain climbing at all. Just shows how inexperienced she is. The glove slips off. Stallone never lets go. He's got a fucking grip on that glove, man, but there's nothing he can do. Her tiny, dainty little woman hand just slips right out of it.
Oh!
And then we get some shots of his face going, bah! And some shots of Michael Rooker's face going, bah! And then like a shot of her like falling down, just, yeah! And it's all in slow-mo. A lot of this movie's in slow-mo. Maybe like half this movie's in slow-mo. Yeah. And everybody's just traumatized as this probably nice woman. I don't know. They had dinner plans later. She plummets to her death right in front of everybody.
Stallone seemed to know her pretty well.
And then it's like, boom, cliffhanger.
Yeah.
The movie hasn't even really started yet. That's
how we start, yeah.
This is how we start with dramatic fucking shit like that.
Yeah.
And you haven't even gotten into it. That's only the first cliffhanger.
Right.
There's going to be like 100 more cliffhangers that you're going to see.
And Stallone drops her, and Rooker's like, you have lust in your eyes. Yeah,
this sort of does have a lot of
lust in his eyes.
Tear between Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage dynamic here because these people don't forgive each other. They were the best of friends when this shit started, making quips about, oh, don't trust anything this guy says about me. Oh, you say you hurt your knee doing something heroic? I hear it was doing something stupid. La da 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 da.
You were having sex with ladyboys. Not really fighting in Vietnam.
After this, when we come back to the mountain, Stallone's been away for a year. He's all PTSD'd out.
Right.
Rooker won't talk to him. He's angry. He blames him. You shouldn't have been out there. I told you not to, and now she's dead. Stallone's blaming himself. I shouldn't have been out there. I did it all wrong. I gotta hang up my boots. Like, I'm shamed.
As soon as he drives back into town, these two awesome 90s characters are like filling up with gas in their cool Jeep.
Couple of 90s extreme sports base jumpers.
Yeah. Couple of Dave and who was the other one? It was Dave versus
Chainsaw and Dave from Summer School.
Well, they're cool too. No, I'm talking about Dave Cortez.
Oh, Dan versus Dave.
Dan versus Dave.
The Summer Olympics.
Dan Cortez. Yeah, very much that vibe. And they're just like, bro, it's Gabe. Mm-hmm. Oh hell yeah! So they like drive into oncoming traffic
one of
for
them
5 minutes.
Is one of my favorite character actors of all time, Max Perlick. He's the guy who's pimping out his Down syndrome sister in Gummo.
Is
from
really
the early
him?
Seasons of Angel. He plays the very simple snowplow man in Beautiful Girls. Shows up in a lot of things. Always loved to see him. Was very happy to see him as one of these stoner idiot base
jumpers. I got to get around to watching that Beautiful Girls movie.
I watch it every Black Wednesday. It's a great film.
So they're just driving in oncoming traffic for 5 minutes while having a full conversation with Stallone. And Stallone's never like, well, you guys should get out of oncoming traffic.
No, but he is totally freaked out by these guys that he seemingly knows very well pulling up next to him in his car. So this is how we establish this isn't the same old Gabe anymore. Yeah. He's very skittish. He's very weirded out now.
One of the things I really like about PTSD skittish Stallone is he pretty much fully embodies our long-standing character of Sly Stallone's Honest Convenience Mart.
It's so much better than early on when they're trying to sell him as like charming friends with normal people Stallone, which I don't buy.
Yeah, he's trying to like just get by without making any waves, so he's very much just like, they're like, oh, you're pretty good at climbing mountains. He's like,
I don't really think I should climb mountains.
I could climb pretty good, but like, I shouldn't be doing
pretty
it.
Pretty good climbing.
You know,
people seem to die when I climb, though. I don't know. I've been hanging out in Denver. It's up in the mountains, but you just drive cars around. You don't really got to climb. It's more my speed.
So he goes and he finds old girl, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like,
Maggie from Northern Exposure.
And she's like, man, you came back to get it on. And he's like, actually, I just got a couple of things in the house. I was wondering if I could pick them up. I just leave you alone. I don't want to make any trouble in your life.
That's right.
It's been a year. You moved on, And she's all like, fuck you, man. Like, we're all dealing, bro. And he's like, well, that's not really what I was coming here to do. I'm not trying to fight. I just want to get my stuff. And she's like, there's shit going on in the mountains. And you got to get up there. You got to help Hal. To which he responds, Hal's a pretty good climber. Which is a great answer.
It's very Stallone right there. It's very Rocky, just hanging out in the streets of Philadelphia like a homespun humble. This scene right here in specific is another one of my bullet points where I was just like, oh, God, even more shitty screenwriting. We hear lines in this scene such as, what is happening to you? Don't you feel anything anymore?
It's not I don't feel, it's just I just don't feel as much as I used to feel.
And then lines like, go ahead, leave, But if you walk away now, you're going to be stuck out on that ledge for the rest of your life.
That's called a double entendre.
It's a single entendre. They're just directly telling the audience how we're supposed to feel about everything.
No, it means two things. No,
it means one thing.
He's going to be on the edge of love his entire life.
I don't know if love is a part of it. It's just
precipice of love.
You're out on that ledge where that girl died. You're never going to let it go. And we need the audience to know that this is the conflict right now.
Yes.
This is also a very essential
maybe
part of adventure storytelling.
Because of Rennie Harlan's language barrier, you know, he thought everybody needed it spelled out.
Well, I think maybe Rennie Harlan, if he was putting his fingers in the screenwriting, is the reason why nobody talks like a native English speaker in this entire fucking movie.
Yeah, it really does happen.
What we have here, though, is the refusal of the call.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of, you know, Joseph Campbell and his theories of myth-making, this is an important part of the hero's journey. Somebody who wrote this and studied classically how to tell an adventure tale.
It's Bruce Campbell.
This is where, you know, the main character has stepped out of his comfort zone, which was being a expert climber, and been thrown into a new world,
yep,
being a has-been who doesn't think he has it anymore.
He does work in Denver.
He's
got
to
really
work
explain.
Himself back to where he was. So at first he gets an opportunity, and he has to say, nay, refusing the call,
nay,
until he's forced into it, and then we get a thrilling tale. And
yeah,
the reason he's forced into it is because of this completely separate movie that comes crashing into this mountain climbing movie, Matt.
What's that, Nate?
And this is the fucking heist film. This is
Jet Heist, the movie.
Jet Heist, the movie. We got old boy Travers as some sort of fucking government agent working for the Treasury. He's in charge of you know, we get these like big multinational exchanges of money going on.
Yeah.
He's the one that has to actually have the hard currency get from place to place.
Right.
Which I don't know if that's actually a thing.
Well, how's money get to place, Nate?
Well, it doesn't happen in armored vehicles. It doesn't happen in trains.
Coming from the Denver fucking mint, bro.
Those things could be hijacked. They could be stolen.
Yeah.
They do it in the air because nobody can steal money in the air
ever,
except that we get an actually pretty spectacular plane heist where Travers is dirty. He kills everybody on the plane except for the pilot, who's also in on it. A second plane of John Lithgow and all his fucking cronies come. They attach the two planes with the cable. This is all happening midair. No CG shit. Real stunts. They got people like fucking cabling from one plane to the next.
So
they got the money hooked up.
About
they're
that,
sliding
real quick,
the money to the next plane.
Old boy climbs from one plane to another plane on a cable. No, like, safety precautions, just...
Oh, no, there's no safety precautions you could do up in the fucking air with jets.
He literally climbed cable to cable. This stunt was illegal in Europe, so they had to come back to the States, even though most of this was filmed in Europe.
I thought Europe was much more laissez-faire about this sort of shit than
the
U.S.
I think they had to film this one in the States.
I'm disappointed in Europe.
And they couldn't get... I don't think they could get an actual stunt person to do it, so they got, like, a climber that was like, yeah, I can fucking do it.
Just pull the homeless guy off the street.
And they paid him $1 million to do that one stunt.
Yeah, that's fucking well worth it.
And Stallone,
crazy fucking stunt.
Stallone gave money out of his paycheck to pay for that stunt.
Hey, you know, I'm getting paid pretty well.
It's pretty impressive.
I'd probably give you like half my payback. I mean, I could use the money. I just got divorced, you know. Yeah. Basically, I'm bankrupt right now. I don't know if he needs it. If he needs to do the stunt.
You know, I just been living with that robot from Rocky IV, you know.
Well, that'd be a great life.
Happy birthday, Bali.
But, this is a great fucking stunt.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is shit goes wrong.
Yeah.
People are double-crossing each other.
People are shooting people.
They're shooting back and forth.
Plane to plane.
Eventually, Travers gets over to the other plane, but,
yeah,
you know, he's at odds with everybody he's working
right
with. He's a lawman who's turned dirty, but he still doesn't like these filthy criminals.
Yeah.
Shit's going bad.
Old
the plane's
going
to crash.
Dot, dot, dot.
The fucking money's hung by a fucking cable, and then eventually it just detaches, and all the $100 million goes falling down into the
John
Rocky
Lith
Mountains.
John goes like, pull them out of here on the cord.
And I got to say, it was sadder watching that money fall than it was that woman. I teared up.
It was sadder watching Lithgow's accent than watching that money
okay,
fall.
Okay, did this is a question I got for you here.
Okay, what do you got, pal?
Were we ever told at any point
what country he's from?
What country he's supposed to be from and what kind of accent he's trying to do?
They set up that like two of those people are clearly foreign.
I mean, there's like an Australian one. There's the black guy who's not doing any real accent work.
No. There's old boy,
the mom from
the striker.
Hook.
The striker.
The one guy's
from,
clearly Australian.
Is it an Australian?
Yeah, I'd say so. Australian, New Zealand.
I used to be a pretty fucking good striker.
One of those Oceania.
He sounded, New Zealand to me, because he sounded like Uncle Barry.
Okay, mom from Hook. I don't think she's doing
Barry,
any weird accent.
A family ute.
But Lithgow is just doing some vague.
Mom from Hook is British.
Not for I know, but she's not really doing it in this movie. It's weird. Everybody's doing different accents
Hook,
than they should
Nate.
Be doing. Lithgow, though, I don't know, I'm not even going to try to do an impression of it. He's not doing his normal Lithgow voice.
Yes, I'm John Lithgow.
But he's also not doing any sort of accent that I can recognize from anywhere else.
You want to know the worst part about this?
What's that?
You know who was originally supposed to play the role of Quinn?
No.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken doing a European accent would have been a lot of fun.
Or just doing Walken accent, but chopping up that, that verbiage that was written down for him.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
He would have been amazing.
Lithgow, though, I'm saying maybe the star of this movie.
Yeah.
He's the only one who's like acting I'm really not annoyed with because he's being totally goofy.
Yeah.
But actually, Leon's pretty good, too. I'm
Leon's really
him and
good.
Leon really steal the
Leon
movie out from everybody
it.
Else.
Yeah.
But now we got their plane is crashed.
Yeah.
They all survived the plane crash, thankfully, thanks to the expert piloting of, I believe, Mom from Hook.
Yeah.
But they're stranded.
Mm-hmm.
Their money is missing. Mm-hmm. They got to find it. A storm's coming in.
Yeah.
So it's all very dangerous. And this is when they put the call into the Rocky Mountain Rescue.
Yeah.
And this is when Gabe is going to go rescue them. And this is when it's confronted to Stallone. Like, this is a big job. There's five hikers out here. They think they're hikers at this point.
Oh.
He can't do it alone. A storm's coming in.
Yeah.
You got to get back in the game, Stallone.
Yeah. Real quick, Travers. The only reason they don't ice him is because he's the only way they're going to find the money because there's trackers, and he's got a machine that can read the trackers, but it's...
He keeps saying something about like
code.
Randomized codes.
He's the only one that knows the code that shows up every 15 seconds, which makes no sense.
And he's screaming everything that he says in this movie, which is pretty cool.
That
like
part
not
is
not a
cool.
single line that he doesn't just scream.
And I'm the only one that knows the codes, Lithgow!
He's very
like, that's
angry.
That's pretty much the entire movie.
He's angry with the bad guys. He's angry with the good guys. I think he's a little bit angry at himself.
Don't lose money, goddammit! Goddammit!
Don't use my name, goddammit!
Oh, goddammit! Oh, goddammit!
Goddammit!
You asked how far, goddammit!
Ah,
goddammit!
Come in, goddammit!
And so... Old girl is like, Stallone, you have to help Hal.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, he's just like, yeah, all right, fuck it. I got to help Hal.
Yeah. So he just shows up at the top of a mountain.
And then here's the thing that I don't know why she never stopped to consider it. Maybe Hal's still really pissed off at Stallone.
Oh, I mean, clearly he is because when they first meet up, Hal's just like, hey, what the fuck are you doing randomly on this top of the mountain?
Yeah.
I hate you. You killed my girlfriend.
It's very
I don't
similar
want you out here.
To Royal Tenenbaum's, him having the seizure.
The
Is he
going
to be okay? Fuck, do you care?
Yeah, I was thinking about Royal Tenenbaum's the whole time I was watching this movie. They're basically the same movie if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hold the fucking plane steady. Oh, fuck. Break my fucking neck. None of your fucking business. I'm getting real fucking tired of your threats.
We're down a few hours before the whole fucking world shows up.
Where the fuck is it?
What the fuck is going on?
Fuck!
Fuck, Guy Walker!
A couple of fucking mountain rangers!
And I'm finding that pretty fucking hilarious, Quaylen! Fucking dirtbag like you! Fucking A, I lost it, Quaylen! Pure fucking Section 8! Adios, motherfucker!
But yeah, how about also Maggie from Northern Exposure? If he needs help out there, why don't you do it? Aren't you also part of this Rocky Mountain rescue team?
She's clearly shown she's just
wearing
the other
outfit,
pilot.
But she does nothing throughout
she's
this whole...
She's just the other pilot.
If she's just the other pilot, why does she need the pilot to pilot her everywhere? I don't think she does anything.
Flies in the helicopter.
So a girl can be in the movie.
The helicopter. Oh, yes. And the pilot, Ralph Waite as Frank, he's also an artist, by the way.
That's established.
Yeah.
He's...
He's painting.
He's an eccentric artist. We get a lot of.
Or is he just autistic?
Jokes about how nobody wants to buy his paintings. None of this goes anywhere.
I feel like he's got some kind of LD.
If she's the pilot, he doesn't need to be in this movie whatsoever. At no point does he factor into the plot.
He's brave, he's dumb, he's the pilot.
The only thing he adds to this whole movie is in the opening scene when the girl falls to her death and they just cut to a scene of him just smiling and laughing for some reason. Just some sort of B-roll from something else that Rennie Harlan somehow cut into that scene to kind of ruin it.
Yeah.
I think maybe he was just a sad old man that, like, one of the producers felt like they owed something to or something.
We'll
like,
find out more.
Right in a role for my sad old uncle. Like, he needs to work.
All right, so Stallone's like, all right, I'm going to fucking help you. So he gets up there with Rooker. Shit goes south quick. They come to figure out, like, oh, okay, they got guns. They're just going to kill us. None of this fucking matters. Mm-hmm. It's a death trap. Mm-hmm. They get split up. Stallone tries to get free.
Yada, yada,
Rooker,
yada.
In a moment of goodness, is like, get the fuck out of here, Stallone.
Even though I hate you, I don't want to see you die. I love you.
So they get separated. He matches up with a fucking old girl because she's looking for them after a day.
Maggie and Stallone are eventually together. Rooker's stuck with the bad guys. Yeah. They're all looking for the three cases of money.
Old man gets killed at some point.
Old man is killed terrorists. At the very end.
Well, either way, there's a lot going on.
But eventually, essentially, it's a whole cat and mouse thing throughout the whole rest of this thing where Stallone's got a tracker, they've got a tracker. Stallone's like, the only way we're going to keep Rooker alive is if we get the money before they do. Rooker's doing his best to, like, delay them finding it by taking them around winding passages through the mountains and stuff. Every once in a while, they come across each other and there's some shootouts and some action stuff.
Yep.
This is where the John McClane shit starts coming into the movie, where people say this is a Die Hard ripoff, Stallone just starts like taking their money before they can get it, starts leaving them notes, mocking them, they get fucking angry, he starts picking them off one at a time. There's some cool-ass fucking action in here. This is when the movie starts picking
there
up.
Is.
But I think one of the first deaths I really like is the one guy, the first guy to see him and Maggie from Northern Exposure, where he's wearing his fucking night goggles.
Oh, yeah,
So he's going after him shooting, but then
he's got night goggles.
Stallone attacks him with the flare, so he's blinded.
He's 7 foot of brightness.
Then they struggle a little bit, but they both like hit the edge of this cliff, so then they're just...
Well, he's... They fight into each other and go tumbling down the side of the mountain, and Stallone's riding him like a sled.
This is the cool
and
shit.
And you get that awesome scene where he pushes old boy's face into the snow.
Grinding his face off
because they're going
the
so
mountain.
Fast.
Just fucking cool ass death.
Yeah.
Eventually they hit the edge. Stallone fucking uses his ice
pickaxe
to not fall off. But the guy who just got his face ground down to nothing does fall. We got a big fucking death. Also in here,
there's at least one Wilhelm scream in this movie.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of just canned fucking sound effects in here, including screams. I also really like the squibs on the ground. This is a thing that hit me that you don't really see in movies anymore because everything's digital. When people would be shooting machine guns, that'd be like established that it was happening.
A bunch
of squibs going off on the ground and like fucking, you know, just... Pillars of dirt blowing up all around the good guy. Here it's snow because we're in the snow. Just they're running and there's just squib, squib, squib. And just like snow's flying up everywhere. And you're like, ooh, these bullets are very close to them.
Oh, you're right. That is.
They're very barely getting away.
That is a missed thing.
You never see that shit anymore.
No. Bullshit.
So that's fucking cool. Stallone riding the guy's cool. Probably the...
I love watching Stallone ride dudes.
The big... we're on the same page there. The biggest thing that I fucking love, though, that's the one thing that stood out to me the most from this movie, it's a great quote in here that me and my friend Wes used to throw at each other all the time in high school, is the big cave fight where Leon, Derice from Cool Runnings,
hell yeah,
and Stallone finally come to blows, and they're fucking fighting each other in this cave, and... Basically, like, Leon's the equivalent of, like, the long, blonde-haired German guy from Die Hard.
Yeah.
He's just, like, the guy who's a badass throughout the whole fucking movie who you, like. And when they get going, like, he's fucking talking trash. He's got a bloody mouth. He's spitting blood. He's just, like, fucking, they're beating the living shit out of each other, him and Stallone. It's really great. But we get the line that I always quoted is when Maggie from Northern Exposure gets a hold of his machine gun
that he's dropped
during the scuffle. And he's about to beat Stallone, but then like she's like, I'll save you, and points the gun and tries to shoot at him. But click, 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 there's no more bullets left in that machine gun.
So what do you say if you're at a party and somebody shoots a gun with no bullets?
No bullets, bitch!
Hell yeah.
It's just fucking cool as hell.
No bullets.
He's on top of the world. He thinks he's going to fucking destroy everybody until Stallone just out of nowhere gets advantage and ends
Gorilla
the fight in the coolest way ever by grabbing his fucking dick and squeezing, and he screams, and then he puts his other hand up on his shoulder, completely gorilla presses Doris Bang and whatever his name from Cool Runnings was. Over his head.
Through.
In the air. Through some fucking stalactites.
Just, yeah.
They're both screaming. He's like, ah! Stallone's like, ah! Blood's raining down from the stalactites, and it's fucking hardcore as hell. Yeah. Cool as hell. It's a sort of R-rated death you don't see in fucking action movies nearly enough anymore. Yeah. I love this scene. Scene of the movie, in my opinion. Fucking great shit.
I like that Leon's also fighting Stallone with a very bloody mouth the entire time.
Yeah, his bloody mouth while he's trash talking.
They make sure to keep it wet. It's a good look. All right, so they're getting picked off here and there. We're getting towards the end of the movie now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Lithgow is rat trapped in a corner.
One of my bullet
willing
points
to chew off his own arm at this point.
A miserable prick and great villain Lithgow is throughout the whole movie. It's great, the scene where the two base jumpers come back.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, what up, Michael Rooker, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, like, Lithgow just orders his men to kill them for essentially no reason.
Yeah.
And, like,
they're about to just leave on their own.
A dramatic thing where they're trying to run away. They're trying to get a base jump off while they're getting shot at with machine gun fire, blah, blah, blah. Things don't end well for them. And Rooker's like, they're just kids. Why would you kill those kids? And Lithgow's just like, sue me.
Yeah.
Which I thought was one of the greatest fucking lines in the movie right
here.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of lines like that. Where he's just I
don't care. How they establish sort of like a flirtation with him and Mom from Hook, where like she keeps doing things to impress him and he's like bragging about her and like
he keeps
sexual
like
tension going
dropping
back and forth.
Like little like cookies for her, like, I might fuck you,
girl.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh, these two are fucking, these two are 1A and 1B. They're fucking in it with each other. Like, if there's anything he cares about, it's her. Like, he's a total asshole, but he's sweet on her. And it just establishes so there can be a turning point where as soon as it becomes convenient to him and he needs to sacrifice her, he just fucking blows her away and just like, Oh, Travers, now I'm the only pilot, so I'm the only way you're going to get off this mountain, and you still have to work with me. I didn't care about this bitch at all. I just machine-gunned her chest.
I'm fucking nuts, bro.
So you're just like, this guy's so fucking evil. I hate him.
Sometimes sacrifice is the ultimate sign of love.
What accent is he doing?
I don't know. It's weird. It's so weird. It's part John Lithgow, part some other nationality.
Who's not used so well in this movie? Michael Rooker. Because he spends the whole movie at gunpoint just begging and getting pushed around by Travers and like doing a lot of just like guttural grunts and like yelling, like, ah, you gotta run away! Bad stuff's gonna happen! He gets his moment where they're done with him. It's come down to the end. It's a showdown. They know where the money is. They know where Stallone is, so they don't need him as a guide anymore. And they're like, hey, Australian guy, go fucking take care of him. So Australian guy just kicks the
shit
out of Michael
Rooker. It's a fucking good sport.
For like 10 straight minutes,
it's one of my favorite lines.
Kicks the fucking shit
out
of Michael
Rooker. You like soccer? It's a fucking good sport.
He's using soccer analogies the whole time.
He was a striker, Nate.
As he's just kicking him in the chest, kicking him in the face, just beating the hell out of him. Rooker's been beat up this whole movie. He's been begging and pleading and grunting this whole movie.
Yeah.
And then finally, at the end of this 10 minutes of a severe beating, he like briefly gets the advantage and pulls the guy over a cliff and he dies.
By stabbing him in the ankle.
And I'm
then shooting him with a shotgun.
Yeah, he does shoot him with his own shotgun, but it's very brief and like it wasn't nearly enough for me of like a, this should have been like an audience stands up and cheers death. Like he should have like really had some sort of spectacular kill here after all the punishment and humiliation we saw him do. And it just goes by pretty quickly. And I think it's one of the missed opportunities of the movie.
It was 1993. Mm-hmm. No one cared about soccer back then.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, after he killed him or flipped him over
the edge. This did make a lot more money overseas than it did in the U.S., though. Maybe all that soccer talk was the...
Well, I was thinking maybe for the American audiences, after he kills him, he just goes, soccer's for f***s.
No, just full on.
Yeah. This is 93. Yeah,
we can still just throw the whole
word. You throw the second
there.
G, the O, and the T in
there.
We can
throw
the
whole word.
Yeah.
I mean, if he said that, that'd be on T-shirts like today. Yeah, like, and
that's
people
true.
People would still be saying it.
Yeah.
Because it was just such a popular line from Cliffhanger.
Right.
So maybe it's better that that didn't happen.
Yeah.
We're living in a more tolerant society.
Rennie Harlan was very forward thinking.
Rennie Harlan could have really
he was
made
one of
homophobia
the,
super cool.
But
right
he was
there.
One of the first ones in the Me Too movement. Like, he's always been aware.
One of the first ones that went down or one of the first ones supporting it?
Well, he didn't go down. They went down.
Thank God.
They went down. We're not talking about... We're talking about different kinds of going down.
Oh.
So you got this guy with the helicopter now. Mm-hmm. John Lithgow's got a helicopter.
John Lithgow's got a helicopter.
And it's turned into a boss battle.
Yeah, that's at the top of just like this little like pillar of rock. Yeah. Stallone's got some money.
Oh, he got a hold of old girl. Yeah.
He's taken Maggie from Northern Exposure as hostage. He's killed fucking old man from the Waltons or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's basically just like me and you, bro.
Mono.
Here's what it's come down to.
A mono.
And this is the scene where it sort of just strikes me that there's a lot of really bad editing in this movie.
Go ahead.
I don't really know, like, there's, I don't know, it's just very choppy. You don't know how people get from place to place. And here, where it's just like, there's a helicopter over here, and then Stallone's on this one side, and then somehow they switch, and now the helicopter's over here, and Stallone's over here, and he attaches the helicopter via cable to a ladder that's... attached to the side of the rock, so then Lithgow is attached and can't fly away, and then somehow, even though he did that and then ran in the opposite way of the ladder, he then ends up on the ladder, and then Lithgow's flying away, and then the ladder starts pulling away from the side, so Stallone's hanging off the ladder, and I'm just like, how do they keep getting from this point to that point? It keeps just jump cutting. I don't even know what fucking happened here, and this is the big final fight of the movie. Like, none of this is laid out in a very
intelligible manner
or intelligible way. Like, if they would have like actually had this shit storyboarded, like fucking shot for shot, and had it make sense, it would have been pretty cool. But at this point, I'm just like, all right, he's hanging from the ladder. Lithgow's attached to the ladder in a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
They're both probably gonna die. We got here somehow. I guess I'll just accept it.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Okay, sure. So we're willing to go along with the movie at this point. And
so
this is where it wraps up. How's it?
Helicopter falls, crashes, and we get a cool fight with Lithgow and Stallone on top of the.
Are they just on the top of the upside down helicopter now?
Right,
just hanging from this cable
as the ladder's slowly snapping off the side of the mountain.
So one of the most ridiculous things about this movie is that through all this shit, all these stunts, all this helicopter shit, it all comes down to ripped to shit. Peak physical condition, Sylvester Stallone in a fist fight with John Lithgow.
Who's twice his size, let's be fair.
Yeah, I guess that's true. He can smother him with his fucking, his mask right there.
It's like
his old man doughy mask.
Honest to God, like, Stallone's like 5'8 tops.
And I think he's shorter than that.
And Lithgow is like a full 6'4 in this fight.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's better, just pure mass or not being an out of shape old man? We'll find out.
We'll find out as these two throw bones. And they just go back and forth atop of this teetering helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Stallone wins.
Stallone eventually knocks him back into the helicopter, and then the helicopter falls, and Stallone like cliffhangs for one last time. So he's still on the cliff, whereas Lithgow's trapped in the helicopter that's falling. We get one last great close-up of Lithgow's face as he's fallen. And then the helicopter explodes.
Crash explosion.
Gigantic, just fireball. Probably the best
classic
explosion in the movie.
90s crash explosion.
Yeah, just it goes up huge. And after this, it's just like, What sort of denouement are we going to go with? Like, just Stallone and Maggie from Northern Exposure get back together? Does him and, like, Hal, like, hash out their divot? Nope, movie's over.
Yeah, they're just like, hey.
Randy Harlan's just like, don't care about any of that shit. Bad guy's dead. Let's get the fuck out of here.
It was the best thing they could have done. They were just like, absolutely. They helped Stallone get back up the side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you're on the mountain now, you're good? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And they were like,
back into the sweeping theme of the movie
like,
playing.
They were like, well, this was crazy.
Another helicopter shot pulling away. We start with a helicopter shot going in. We end with a helicopter shot pulling away. Nice little bookend there for cliffhanger.
And at the very end of the credits, we get a little note.
Mm-hmm.
You usually get like a no animals were harmed.
Oh, sure.
And it says, Black Diamond climbing gear
oh, yeah.
is some of the tops in the world.
Yeah.
And the only reason that
lawyers
old
made
girl
say this.
Fell mm-hmm. was because this was a doctored clip.
Sure.
Like, that's not really what happens when you use our shit.
No, buy it. It's still good, I assure you.
Which is pretty
Also, we get like a nice
badass.
R.I.P. and dedication to Wolfgang Gulick.
Oh, the guy that did all Stallone's stunts.
Apparently one of the most skillful like rock climbers of all time. Famous guy.
Real rock jock, Nate.
Did a lot of rock jock shit in this movie, but then like died in a car crash before it came out.
Oh, like a week before it comes out.
Guy that lives his life
on the fucking edge dies in a fucking car crash. Is anything sacred?
Guess not.
You know what is sacred?
What's that?
Your valued point system of this movie and mine.
Oh, that's right. People need to know how many bullets we give movies. That's what they come here for.
Where can they find that?
Our next segment, which we call Judgment Day.
How'd it go at the convention, honey?
You were the big hit of the show.
It's fantastic.
So I love the computer business.
For 15 years, Harry Tasker's been leading a double life.
Mr. President, one of our best men is inside.
Transmitting now.
Right on time.
I don't believe I've met you before.
Rehnquist. Harry Rehnquist.
Listen to the following code word. Helen. H-E-L-E-N.
Now. They're about to collide.
What's your exit strategy?
I'm gonna walk right out of the front gate.
May I see your invitation, please?
Sure. Here's my invitation.
Oh, yeah, that worked good. Right out the old front gate.
You need me back a second?
Mr. Tasker's office.
Hi, it's Helen.
Is he in? Harry's in a sales meeting, Mrs. Tasker.
It's not like he's saving the world or anything.
See, this is the problem with terrorists. They're really inconsiderate when it comes to people's schedules. Could you press the button for the top floor, please?
Hi, Helen. Harry forgot something back at the office.
Whenever I can't sleep, I just ask him to tell me about his day. 6 seconds and I'm out.
Maybe it's just that you're not in touch with your feminine side.
Harry!
Uh-oh.
What are you doing here?
You wouldn't believe it if I told you. You know what this is. It's a snow cone maker. Is it a water heater?
From James Cameron, director of Aliens and T2. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's a Soviet MIRV 6 from an SS-22N launch vehicle.
I married Rambo.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Have you ever killed anyone?
Yeah, but they were all bad.
True Lies.
What can I say? I'm a spy.
Steven Seagal is Detective Mason Storm. They thought they'd silenced him.
Lieutenant.
But Mason Storm.
I think you better dial 911.
It's hard to kill. Now the climate is right for revenge.
That wasn't the time. Now's the time.
Steven Seagal. Hard to kill. Rated R. Starts Friday, February 9th at a theater near you.
Money for nothing.
Cliffhanger for free.
Cliffhanger was for free for me because I watched it on
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but it's
so did I.
That new IMDb TV service. It was like Amazon was pulling from it, so there was like a commercial every 30 minutes. Did you get that going?
Oh, I was. I didn't get commercials, but it had like breaks.
Okay, so yeah, when I watched it on my Apple TV, confused. There was a break, but no commercial played.
Yeah,
and then I was playing it again this morning on my iPad. I was getting the full commercials.
Oh.
Apparently this is because it's not actually an Amazon Prime pick. It's just one of their channels or something they do.
Oh.
I looked into this because I was like, why am I getting fucking commercials?
Yeah, I was curious.
It's IMDb.
I didn't get commercials.
DBTV, but... which is apparently free, but they put commercials in the movies they have every like half an hour or whatever. So
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it.
If it means unedited movies.
Yeah, I'll watch a commercial every half an hour if you got shit like Cliffhanger thrown up there or whatever. And I don't got to like... sign up or make a fucking account or whatever. I can just get that shit through Amazon like I'm already doing. Very convenient.
I lucked out. Last week I caught Blown Away for free in HD.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had already bought that years ago, so I just watched my copy.
Oh, they put a digital copy on HD, right? You don't have a hard copy of it on HD.
No, I don't have any hard copies.
Yeah, they don't sell a hard copy on HD. I have an original DVD of that film.
Oh, wow.
DVD.
Throw that shit up on eBay. That's got to be worth thousands, I would imagine.
You laugh, sir, but
so
my...
so many blown away fans out there.
My Gummo DVD and yours. Don't you have it? Or you don't have it?
I never bought it because my aforementioned...
That's right. Mutant roommate
in college always had it. So
yeah, that
by the time I would have needed my own copy, it was out of print and it was very, very pricey.
It fetches a commanding $60 to $80.
Luckily, I'm close personal friends with Harmony Korine now, so
I'll
just ask him for a copy. I'm sure he's got some laying around.
You guys make beats together on his phone?
I mean, we share an app. It's fun.
That's fair. Let's beat ourselves into some final judgment.
Beat all the truth out of this movie Cliffhanger by judging it.
Let's beat you all over the head with what some internet mouth breathers had to say about this
film. Okay, so this week, usually I get a couple takes on this movie. Some negative takes, some positive takes. This week, I just got two takes.
Two hot takes.
One of each. A good one and a bad one. They're both kind of lengthy, but I think they both say what needs to be said. So.
Say what you mean to say.
I'm just pulling them out.
Say what you mean to say.
My first one, Matt.
You like Mayer?
Everybody likes John Mayer. That's a stupid question to ask me. You're wasting the listener's time right now.
Good answer.
Everybody's thinking to themselves right now, everybody likes John Mayer. Give me a break.
Good answers.
This first review is a one-bullet review from Amazon top 100 reviewer Spencer in Seattle. This man gets a little icon next to his name in the Amazon reviews. He is one of their top 100 reviewers.
I can't wait till a
Spencer
follow-up review account. You've got Spencer.
These are both very good movies. Spencer says, I'm a huge fan of climbing movies, but having seen just about all of them. Oh, already, this is one of your top 100 reviewers, Spencer. Come on, Amazon. Having seen all just about all of them, I decided to dip back into the past and watch Cliffhanger. I think I missed it in the 90s, and now I know why. Let's just get the plot described briefly.
Fuck you, buddy.
Stallone and his Colorado Mountain Ranger buddies end up ensnared in a heist gone wrong that literally falls out of the sky. Stallone, and he keeps spelling Stallone with just one L, which is really getting on my nerves, saves the day over and over. Often with helpless women screaming, while climbing very skillfully up several ladders, bridges, cliff faces, and even the underside of a helicopter. Some of the finer lines in the film are given to his rival, John Lithgow, who says things like, I told you so, and the war is not out there, it's in here. Great lines.
Good lines.
You'll be shocked at the inconsistencies in this film. At one moment a character is at a river's edge, and the next on a mountaintop. Stallone himself is often filmed in tree-lined valleys that are then on mountaintops. At one point, a frozen lake is a 12-second stroll from a clifftop. There is even a moist cave, think Vietnam, nestled up there in the Rockies. So that's all super laughable. Moist cave. There's a joke somewhere.
Vagine.
Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, Nearly everyone dies in this movie, mainly from gunshots, but some from explosions, and a few from catastrophic falls. If you want a climbing movie, you don't really get one here. It's more of a Thugs Hit the Alps kind of a flick. One bullet from Amazon top 100 reviewer Spencer in Seattle.
What the fuck is he talking about climbing movies then? Like, what genre
fucking
of
he
film
loves
is
The
this?
Widowmaker and like, Vertical Limit.
I was going to say, like, he saw Vertical Limit, but like, oh, this one slipped through my cracks, which means he's like fucking 18 and like thinks base jumping's cool. Like,
I don't think an 18-year-old would have been able to climb into the top 100 reviewer spot in Amazon product reviews. That doesn't sound very believable at all.
Just, there's so much.
This man's clearly got a hefty resume behind
so
him.
So much. Just tell me what Wildebeest thinks already.
All right. This next five-bullet review on the other edge. This is... this one's really long, so bear with me, but this guy's got a lot of stuff to say, and I think it needs to get out there on a bigger platform than IMDb's user reviews, where this one's buried
in. Is it
in.
Dale, the guy you work with?
This is not him, unless
you should get a review
his
off
IMDb
him
username is IcoCobra8. This is a five-bullet review from IMDb user IcoCobra8.
Does he like the Ico Ico song, or is he just a Cobra fan slash Stallone
fan? We'll get into
fan
a little bit of it
in
this
excited
review.
I'm excited.
Cliffhanger is one of the best action thriller heist movies of the 90s. I love this film to death.
Go on.
It is one of my personal favorite movies. Besides the Rocky and Rambo, which are Stallone's most popular stuff, I would put Cliffhanger right above those.
The Rocky and
I absolutely love this film. Gabe Walker is awesome. I love it. I would put this movie over Rambo 3 and Cobra because I have enjoyed it more than those two films. I don't like Rambo 3. It is a bad action movie. I love Cobra, but Cliffhanger beats Cobra, and I love Cliffhanger to death. It is my childhood movie. This is the finest action movie of all time, and it is a perfect 10. It deals with no CGI but real climbing, real action sequences, dangerous stunts that people could have died. Even for a $70 million budget movie, the action and the stunts are well done for the 90s.
What does that mean?
Yeah, this guy's got deep pockets, I guess. Rennie Harlan made an awesome job on this movie. The movie is awesome. It has slow motion running jump. The action sequences in this movie are fantastic. It is actually the first best favorite action that Stallone did. I love this film, and it is my childhood film. I love it. One of the most Stallone hit and the most successful Stallone film. The movie is filmed in the real Rocky Mountains and not a CGI or computer crap. The stunts are real and insanely crazy. I watched this movie with my dad on Blu-ray 3 years ago, and I really want to say thank you, Stallone, for making this movie.
And thank you, Dad.
I have enjoyed it, and even my dad did enjoy it, and it is really my favorite memories on my dad, so thank you, Stallone. It's one of my first best favorite movies ever. Why I love this movie and I put it above Cobra? Simply because the whole movie is about thrills in the Rocky Mountains during snow time. Rennie Harlan's Die Hard 2 is cool, and he gave the world Cliffhanger, one of the most awesome action movies ever. That's right, Cliffhanger rules, and we all know it. Stallone uses his mind and not his muscles, a machine gun or a handguns to defeat terrorists. He uses his mind, he is rescuing people, and he's trying to save his friend's life, who is held hostage by terrorists. They are thrills, suspense, avalanche, and action all over the place in the Rocky Mountains. And I seriously love this action thriller. The opening scene where the girl is hanging on the line for her dear life still makes my hands sweaty. And when Gabe Walker couldn't save her, I really felt pain, and I mourn with Stallone's character. Cliffhanger was actually the film I grew up with. It is a stone-cold classic action film, a film that I will always cherish.
Keeps going.
My favorite is Cliffhanger, and almost no one puts Cliffhanger into their favorite best action movie.
He's
so I put it as my top four best Stallone action movies out there.
He said it was his favorite.
Excuse me, Matt, is there something you need to, do you need to jump in here? Is there something you need to add to this?
He said it was his favorite. Like 8 times, and then it turns out
Stallone's best
fourth?
Out-and-out action
okay,
film.
Sorry, go ahead.
It is a superbly enjoyable movie with some interesting characters, solid performances, and Rennie Harlan's direction is stylishly assured. Stallone is rarely this interesting in his action films, and he certainly looks the part in terms of the action scenes. This is one of the best action films of the year, and one of the most thrilling and enjoyable of the 90s, a definite genre classic. As a Stallone fan, this is one I look back on with fond memories. Plenty of superb action and sly and prime action man form. Action lovers appreciate this film because it has all the hallmarks and make a good action film.
I like assassins.
The film looks great, and there is great support from Jeanine Turner, Michael Rooker, and John Lithgow. On the airplane, the plane heist up in the air from plane to plane airborne transfer.
This is so long.
A money transfer stunt was filmed in the USA, as such a stunt is illegal in Europe.
Told you.
The stunt itself cost over $1 million to film. Cliffhanger is a 1993 American action-adventure film directed by Rennie Harlan and starring Sylvester Stallone and John Lithgow. I love this film to death besides Rambo movies.
I feel like
Rambo
you're putting
movies.
Me on here.
It is one of my favorite Trills action movies.
Riffin'!
It is Die Hard in the Mountains. I love the music theme from Trevor Jones. He write and made a perfect music score that fits to the film.
He did write and make a... You are wrong,
the
mate.
Basic plot story is about a botched mid-air heist results in suitcases full of cash being searched for by various groups throughout the Rocky Mountains.
He's told me 8 basic plot
points. It is Die Hard movie in the mountains.
Oh...
This movie is what it is, a perfect 10, because it takes the vision of one of the most imaginative directors on Earth. It is way too underrated, and it is my personal favorite Stallone action movie.
This is the very definition of insanity.
5 bullets from IMDb user Ico Cobra 8. I want to see what you could possibly have to say about this movie after Ico Cobra 8 has fucking said it all and dropped the mic on Cliffhanger.
My question is, he goes out of his way to be like, this is the best Stallone action film. Says it like a million times, and then later on establishes it's his 4th favorite Stallone film.
Okay, no. It's the 4th best Stallone film, but his favorite. We could probably get into some deep stuff with him about that if we wanted to.
Well, I'm saying, like, he's got 3 dramatic roles by Stallone that, like, top this. One of them's Copland, clearly.
Definitely Oscar is in there.
Oh, Oscar. Yeah, that's not an action movie. So now we need one more. Does he not consider Stopper, My Mom Will Shoot an action movie?
That's there's a lot of gunplay in that.
Oh, it's so hard to tell. I need to find out what this third movie is.
Email this guy and pick his brain and...
But my question is he a foreign or is he some kind of handicapped internet dweller?
Yes to everything.
I really
like to
feel
say
like
yes to all of the above.
I really feel like IMDb really needs to clarify like foreign or
autistic.
Yeah,
like, there should be bad. If you got a top 100 reviewer like badge over there on Amazon, you could do this stuff.
Yeah,
this could be easy.
I just need a little more definition on my end. Cliffhanger. It ain't my favorite. I am you or the movie, and then we go to the sea and the Rennie Harlan, and we love it. And my action, and I'm a friend, and you're a friend.
Action film thriller
kids.
90s.
Yeah.
Favorite.
Dinosaurs, not the mama.
Gotta love me.
That guy who's a real rapscallion, you know? He had no choice but
to love him. Should've put him in Cutthroat Island.
Would've saved that film. Cliffhanger, though.
Mm-hmm.
I remember liking it as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I was like... This is a great action movie.
Look great up on a big screen.
Want to play this with my friends or like reenact stuff.
I get to be Gabe Cliffhanger this time.
Or like make my G.I. Joe's cliffhang shit, you know?
Oh, yeah. My G.I. Joe's were cliffhanging off my bed all the fucking time.
Hell yeah.
Cliffhanging off the stairs.
I remember they had just reintroduced the 12-inch G.I. Joes along this time, like the original scale.
Gross. I like the tiny ones.
Well, I had one.
Bands that always break inside
of
them.
And he had like a rope, and it was very similar to the old-timey rope that Gabe had.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm just going to make this guy like cliffhang everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that was cool. And
sounds cool.
When I went to watch this movie the other night,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I haven't seen this since I was a kid, like for real, like. Probably not going to hold up. And
boy, were you wrong.
I was tired. What, my heart wasn't in it. I'm going to tell you right now.
No.
But you know what?
You powered through?
It carried me along.
Ah, cliffhanger.
I didn't have a bad time.
A helping hand.
Is there a lot of things wrong with this movie? Absolutely.
I was just going to say yeah. I was hoping you were going to say yeah.
Am I calling it a good movie? Not at all.
No? Oh, okay.
Is it serviceable action?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even to this day.
All right.
I'm going to give it just 2.5.
2.5 bullets from Matto.
It's got flaws, but it's almost good.
Yeah, okay. A little rundown on how I feel about Cliffhanger here. The script's terrible, just terrible. But the action's pretty fun. Good guys are all lame as fuck. But the bad guys are all pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of old school, cool filmmaking stuff here, like matte paintings and miniatures and shit, which I appreciate. But then there's some lame fucking green screen shit that really just takes you out of it. It's
there
like,
really is.
Oh, I could use some CG here right now. This green screen's not really doing it for me. I gotta give a shout out to the fact that there's not one but two scenes in this movie where rickety rope bridges need to be crossed. The first one's an exploding rope bridge that Stallone needs to run across.
That's got the worst green screen moment in it.
And then the scene where Travers finally dies, he's got to walk across a frozen rope bridge, and then Gabe's just hidden under it, Rambo style, and he pops up and grabs his legs and pulls him into the fucking frozen water. And
people forget sometimes that scuffle. He's Rambo.
I love fucking rope bridge scenes. And all the villains here get a pretty cool death. So that's the best thing about the movie. Worst thing about the movie... women's hairdos in the 90s.
Not great.
Just a lot of terrible short hair that makes them look 20 years older than they are.
Yeah.
Nothing good going on here as far as women's hairdos.
No bods on nobody. Sickening.
So that's getting rid of those rope bridge scenes. I got to go a little bit below middle of the road. Also, 2.5 bullets is what I gave to Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
We're holding hands on this one.
Yeah.
In agreement on Cliffhanger.
It's not good.
It's not good.
You can watch it, though.
It's not a going out on a Saturday night movie, but it is a hungover on your couch on a Sunday morning movie.
Absolutely. And Nate, I was so hungover this week.
Shocker.
I had a 4th of July party. I had a wedding. Mm-hmm.
All that
I got
stuff.
Blackout drunk, didn't know where I was in the middle of Chicago on Friday.
That's your MO.
I got back to a hotel lobby with members of my family.
After the party, it's the hotel lobby.
I drank
around
Jim
about 4,
Beam.
You gotta clear the lobby.
Jim Beam in a hotel lobby.
Take it up to your room and rape somebody.
This poor person that was friends with my cousin was sitting with us for a minute.
Oh,
and my uncle.
Good for them.
My uncle had to assure her that I was not street people.
He was wrong about that. We've established early on in this podcast that we're both street
people. We are street people, but... yeah.
Shout out to Jimmy Valiant, the fucking inaugural member of the Street People Hall of Fame.
I guess I've always felt a part of street people, but I guess that makes me official now.
Yeah, now you're official. Jeez. When random people think that you're street people, that's when you've made it.
Speaking of street people, we've got a further celebration of true Americans.
Oh, hell we do. Hell yeah. We do.
What's on the docket for next
this
week?
This is
what
a big
action
one.
Mount Rushmore icon
we're
are we going
for? We're not only moving on to another icon, we are moving on to a 25th anniversary celebration. Next
week,
we celebrate that 25 years ago, True Lies came out in fucking theaters.
Ooh.
This is our Schwarzenegger of the year. It's a big celebration. We're going to be talking maybe the last great action film.
It's the Schwarzenegger.
Of the golden age of action movies.
It's the Schwarzenegger movie. All you motherfuckers need to be talking about and ain't talking about it enough.
Yeah.
But we're going to
we'll
be talking
that.
About it next week on Baby Oil and Blow Stay Single.
It's a long road when you're on your own. And it hurts. When they tear your dreams apart, and every new town just seems to bring you down, trying to find peace of mind can break your heart. It's a friend.